Now, the rest of the story. In pre-Civil War America, there were also indentured white slaves. Indentured white slaves. This is the story of one of them, a boy named Andrew, indentured in his early teens, bound to, in effect, owned by James J. Selby, Raleigh, North Carolina. Throughout his childhood, hunger was young Andrew's constant companion. Fatherless at three, his mother an impoverished washerwoman, the boy grew up wild. His mother remarried when Andrew was five. The boy's new stepfather lived up to the scurrilous reputation ascribed to poor white trash. Because of his parents' desperate financial situation, it was decided that Andrew would become what was known as a bound boy. That was a polite phrase for indentured slave. February 18, 1822. Andrew's indenture was legally arranged. His mother and stepfather, unable even to spell their own names, signed the court papers with an X. Now Andrew is 13. He would be bound to a tailor named James J. Selby until the age of 21. Now, the North Carolina laws which applied to Andrew's situation were similar to those in other states, and they were very strict. Should a bound boy run away, he could be arrested, retrieved, punished, as any slave might be. James Selby's reputation was that of an unusually severe master. Yet it was more than a year before Andrew got himself into serious trouble. It began as an ostensibly innocent prank, a pebble thrown against a neighbor's window. When the neighbor threatened to tell the boy's master, Andrew, fearing the whip, fled his indenture. Immediately, James Selby posted a reward for Andrew's capture. Months passed, nothing happened. The bound boy had escaped first to a town 50 miles southwest of Raleigh. Upon learning of his master's reward, he fled even farther, across the state line into South Carolina. At last he was safe. And this is interesting because Andrew, now he's 15 years old, with barely a chance of being returned to his master. The negative aspects of freedom, nevertheless, slowly began to outweigh its benefits. And so, in the autumn of 1825, the hungry, penniless lad decided to return to Raleigh, return to his master James Selby, return to slavery. When Andrew arrived in Raleigh, he discovered that Selby had moved away. Andrew panicked. The bound boy, who nearly 2 years before had run away from an inevitable reprisal, was now desperately seeking to recover the comfort of his earlier servitude. Asking, searching everywhere, Andrew learned that James Selby had relocated his tailor shop 20 miles from Raleigh. Andrew journeyed there, found his legal master, and guess what? The whip was not waiting for him. Neither was his servitude. For James Selby had arranged the harshest punishment of all. Andrew would now be released from his indenture. But neither would he be allowed to serve James Selby. So Andrew, blacklisted from the tailor's trade, cast adrift in a skill-oriented world without as much as a day's worth of schooling, was finally on his own. You know what? It made all of the difference, for what Andrew then considered the cruelest possible retribution was in fact his salvation. Once and for all, it boosted him from his thorny but secure nest. He went on to accept the challenge of personal responsibility. Had he served out his indenture, he might never have been anything more than a barely literate third-rate tailor. But because he was forced, eventually, to care for himself, Andrew, born into poverty and raised in ignorance, known as white trash, sold into slavery, pulled himself up by his own bootstraps, one day to become President of the United States, Andrew Johnson. And now you know the rest of the story.